That clock is wrong.
That clock is always wrong.
Good evening, everyone. We'll call the meeting to order. The joint meeting of Public Works Facilities Planning Development Extension Education Committee. Roll call. We have on Public Works, everyone. Youth and Governance, we are short. Peter. You want to do yours?
Oh, sure. For Extension Education, we have a full committee. Right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And Emily is here for our Youth and Governance.
And
Ash. I'm sorry. Sorry.
Chairman Committee, Supervisors, Youth and Government Comments. I have nothing to begin. I'll get into a couple things later when we get down the agenda. Anybody on the committee have anything? Youth and Governance? No? Kim?
No.
Yeah. Approval of the minutes of our previous meeting.
Would you approve?
Second.
Moved by Supervisor Skoliski, seconded by Supervisor Dodge. Any comments? Discussion? Not all those in favor?
Aye.
Say aye.
Aye.
And Youth and Governance?
Aye.
I'm supposed to do you first. Citizens' comments. At this time, anyone wishing to address the committee on any item would have 5 minutes to speak. We ask that you give your name and address. And anyone for citizens' comments? If not, citizens' comments are closed. We'll move on to the approval of the resolution to appoint Chris Mason as Director of Public Works and Development Services. This committee has met Chris formally. I believe, Kim, yours has not.
Our committee has not met him formally.
So, Bob, our Head of Personnel Services, would you like to introduce Chris?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. About a month ago was Chris's first day, and you all were in session, and so you had a chance to introduce him. But we recruited Chris out of Shelby County, Tennessee, and he got here just in time for us to dial down the temperatures and turn up the snow machine, and he's still here, which is a really, really good time. He was a senior engineer in the Division of Public Works in Shelby County from January 2007 until they came to Kenosha County. And prior to that, he was the Public Works Director at the City of Lakeland in Lakeland, Tennessee, which I believe is also in Shelby County, Tennessee. Chris comes very well credentialed. He has a master's degree from the University of Illinois. And in fact, grew up in St. Charles, if I'm not correct. So he comes back to the Midwest. We're fortunate to be able to recruit him and run our public works department. A big job left vacant by Ray Harvey. With that, I'd introduce Chris and ask him to explain anything that he'd like.
You don't have to, Chris, but we know
this
that you're...
This is my second meeting for you guys.
It is.
And we know you did that because I had to do it.
We know you're still here because there's no Salters in Tennessee. You couldn't get home.
we use actually about 500 tons compared to the 7,500 that you guys use here. Typically, which I understand you guys, understand we're over 8,500 already, so we have a little salt.
Right.
Nothing like this. Pretty much that's it all. If you have any questions.
I'm sure that my committee had a chance to look at his resume that was sent over to you. Aaron and Mike, do you have anything? I know that.
Who's your favorite football team?
Uh-oh. Dead Bears.
So if there's no further questions from Public Works or this committee, the Highways and Parks and Golf and Facilities, I'd ask for a motion.
Move to approve.
Moved by Supervisor Dodge, seconded by who? Supervisor Noodle. Any discussion? Youth and Governance?
Aye.
Are you in favor?
Yes.
Yes, okay, and the committee?
Aye.
Aye. So we are approved.
Okay, extension education?
Move to approve.
Second.
I have a first by Supervisor Dodge and a second by Supervisor Decker. Any questions, discussion? Youth and governance? How do you vote?
Aye.
Committee?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. We are approved.
Well, thank you and congratulations, Chris. And I believe tomorrow evening we'll smooze you right through the whole board. So, you folks are all welcome to stay. But I imagine that...
I need to go.
You're probably not gonna.
Chairman Alverman, thank you for allowing us to do a joint meeting with you.
Well, thank you. Thank you for being here. And again, you're all welcome to stay. So we will, you're welcome too, Bob. Okay, gonna stick around. We're gonna move on to highways. Gary, new business?
Just a brief report on our activities. As you might suspect, they're pretty much limited to winter maintenance. And last meeting, I gave you an update on the situation with the salt, and it's become a little bit more critical. As of last week, we have about 3,800 tons of salt remaining in our inventory for use on county highways, and that, on an average season, would be sufficient to get us through the rest of the season. As you are aware, this has been anything but average, and based on the weather we had this past weekend, snow tomorrow, snow next Saturday, you know, this whole cycle is continuing. So what we did a couple of weeks ago is start some conservation methods of our salt. We started mixing a salt sand, 50-50 salt in sand mix, and started using it on the lower volume county trunk highways and subdivisions, town roads, and it works fairly well. I mean, it doesn't work as great as straight salt, but it does melt the snow a little. Takes a little bit longer, but the sand does provide some traction as the snow and ice is melting. We're reviewing the different areas, making sure that, you know, we're not creating a traffic safety situation. Of course, the biggest complaint we get about it is it's kind of messy. You know, the sand is dirty, gets on people's cars, but overall, we've had pretty good acceptance of it. We do monitor our salt inventory and on a daily basis, and it even as of today, I'm think it looks like it's probably down to about 3,200 tons now after the weekend. So I'm going to watch it. When it gets down to about 2,000 tons, we're going to extensively expand our conservation methods with and expand the use of the sand salt mix on the county trunk highway system. We'll probably mix about 500 tons of salt with 500 tons of sand at a time, and it's just going to have to be used more extensively because the consequences of us running out of salt is just too great. I mean, it just can't happen. And there is no salt available. You cannot buy salt anywhere. I've had many municipalities calling me in the last week looking for salt because everybody's out, and there is none available. You can't. The ships that typically bring it into the depot in Milwaukee cannot get there because the Great Lakes are iced in. So there is no salt. We have to conserve what we have. Just the consequences are just too great to do that. Not The state roads in the interstate is a different story. They have very limited amount of salt available also, but they have not directed us to do any conservation, so we're using our standard procedures for spreading salt on state highways in the interstate, and we'll adjust as necessary, but obviously the safety of the motorists are our greatest concern, and we'll do whatever we can to protect them, but in a season like this, that's going to mean some conservation using the sand salt mix. That was about all I had.
Thanks, Gary. That state pile, that's a whole different, that's the other depot, isn't it, out along the freeway?
There's another shed on 158 that
right.
has just state salt in it, and they purchase all their own salt. We have no control over what the salt we have on the views on the state system. So it's we do as directed by the DOT and use their salt.
Thank you. Well, hopefully we all get lucky here and we get our February thaw.
Hope so.
Yes.
But unrelated to that, not in salt, but the Highway E between 94 and maybe, I don't know, I wouldn't go to 88, but perhaps 90th or so. Just this winter has been rough. There's nothing you can do about it, but it's getting to a point where we may, and I don't know if it's a town or if it's county, because it's county road. There are some bumps that are almost to a point where you almost have to maybe think about putting a few signs out. So if you get a chance, and I've never seen it like this, and it's almost a roller coaster ride, especially for mainly for trucks.
Yeah, it's been it's all frosty, and we're experiencing it throughout the county.
Okay.
But some roads are just more susceptible to it than others. It most likely will go down once
it thaws out.
Yeah. But in the meantime, we can start signing some of those areas that are really bad.
You can stay right. You can use your judgment.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Yes.
Quick question. What causes those bumps? Because even over by my high school, we're starting to get those, and they're getting bigger and more of them. And I've been in Wisconsin my whole life. I've never seen that before. No, they just crack and you get potholes.
Sure. It's what it is it's the moisture in the ground. As water freezes, water expands.
So it's
and the colder it gets, the deeper the frost gets,
it's more
expansion up, and that's exactly what's happening on the roads, on sidewalks. You've probably noticed on sidewalks and, that type of thing, too. That's what it is. And it will go down when it thaws.
Okay.
But unfortunately, it leaves behind a lot of cracks and asphalt and concrete that won't go away, so it does do a considerable amount of damage.
I just realized they left and we didn't sign this from the other committee. So a couple of them are here, but three. So
I'll let Edie know in the morning, and maybe she can collect their signature before the.
It'll just be Kim, I believe, or who else?
Kim and Aaron.
Kim and Aaron.
Okay.
So the rest of us will sign it.
Just catch it before the Mr. Chair.
Yeah.
I just want to make one comment. Last week at Saturday, the county exec had a council of government meeting, and everybody at the meeting was just ranting and raving about the great job you guys are doing, just to convey that. I mean, you had a whole group of people from the county, and towns and villages, so everybody was...
Thanks.
Other than one person.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah, that was unfortunate that morning. There was
It was bad.
There was a lot of black ice. It had rained overnight the night before, and it was just ice everywhere that morning. So, but I appreciate that. Thank you.
If there's nothing else for Gary, we'll move on to parks. John?
I have nothing for the Katy Master Plan. A little bit maybe in the park report on that. Next thing is the Bird City resolution where the Public Works Facilities Committee is asking to go after Bird City status for the county of Kenosha and declare that International Migratory Bird Day be observed in Kenosha County annually on the third day of September. And that would coincide with Pringle Nature Center Fall Fun Fest.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Doug, just two quick questions. Will that result in a day off for me at all? Will they observe that for county?
Yeah.
Okay, good. And then is there any additional cost to the county long term by?
Yes.
And how is that?
This, it costs us $100 a year for the status.
Oh.
But I just had a meeting with the folks from the city of Kenosha, the Hoy Audubon, Riverside Nature Center, and I don't remember who else. But anyways, we're doing it as a joint entire Kenosha County, so it'll be also, we're hoping to get the naturalists from Long involved and everything. The one thing that nobody has their hands around right now is one of the programs that they really like to offer at this is either Birds of Prey, where folks bring in hawks and owls and everything else, live ones, and do demonstrations, let folks see them. And that runs somewhere, as they said, around $250 to have those people come in for that event. And that would probably be something I would be looking to pay for on our side, because Pringle Nature Center doesn't have that kind of funding, but I think it'd be a nice thing to add to the event, to be able to do something like that for the public.
Okay.
So yes, there is an additional cost.
Very minimal.
Yeah.
Anything else from John on that? Otherwise, do we have a motion?
All right, Bob.
Second.
Moved by Supervisor Noodle, seconded by Supervisor Skolitsky. Any discussion? If not, all those in favor, Youth and Governance?
Aye.
Committee?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries. But this one I will pass around right away. And we'll move on, John, to...
The next resolution is to... It's an annual grant we get from the Department of Natural Resources to operate about 77 miles of boom snowmobile trail in Kenosha County. It's 100% reimbursable. This isn't a 50-50 match or anything like that. It's $19,226 we get every year to reimburse the Snowmobile Alliance for maintenance and grooming on the snowmobile trails. We haven't added any trail or have any other expenses, but the money also pays for acquisition, which is rent payments to landowners, because it does cross private property.
And this money, as John said, down this first, but this money comes from the registration fees and their fees they pay to the state, so there's nothing at all from the county. It's all the snowmobilers pay for it.
Make a motion to approve the resolution. Sorry.
Moved by Supervisor Skolitsky.
I'll second that.
Seconded by Supervisor Noble. Any discussion?
I have a question.
Yes, Supervisor Noble.
The acquisition, you said, was rent? So you're not exactly, they're not actually acquiring anything?
No, we call it acquisition, but it's just a small fee to get their signature.
Yeah.
It releases them from liability and operate the trail on their property.
The number of miles, it seems like it's been by 76.9 for 10 years. And
it's because there's been no additional money put into the program, so nobody can add miles.
Yeah, but there's definitely trails like in Pleasant Prairie that is now, you know, targets there and everything else. I mean, I would say there's less trails now than there was.
Well, a lot of it's club trails, not state funded, too. There's a lot of trails that the snowmobile clubs themselves pay to maintain and groom.
Okay.
So there's a lot more miles of trails than what we get paid for and they get paid for. Yeah, but they groom. So let's see, Youth and Governance, we already voted. No.
No, just a motion.
How would you vote on that?
Aye.
Committee?
Aye.
Here's that one, Doug. Okay, John, the director's report.
Okay, the first thing is Cannon we're working on getting. We've been told we have it. We're just waiting for the paperwork to pull it through the gate at Fort McCoy. At Kemper Center, the boiler over at the Anderson Art Center, the parts came in last Thursday, and the boiler's been repaired and operating in pretty decent shape, from what I hear. Emerald Ash Borer, been working at Carolinio on talking about maybe going a different route and maybe using loggers to remove the ash trees and use the saving or the profit from selling the logs, pulpwood, and chips for biofuel, possibly to offset the costs involved in removing the trees. Friday, we met with Don Shepard from the Historical Society and Dan Joyce from the Kenosha Museum and did a walkthrough of the Thompson property that the county just purchased on Highway 31 and JR to make sure if there's anything of historical significance in the house that it was salvaged. And the only thing that they found which wasn't salvageable was one of the beams in the basement was, they figured, from an original cabin that sat there prior to that house being built in the late 1850s. Hmm. But it's cut in pieces and wouldn't, you know, you wouldn't be able to use it for anything. Silver Lake Mountain bike trail, they, no work has been going on, but they did have a fat tire bike race out there on the 18th, and they had 70 riders at Silver Lake Park, and still working with them on putting together, finishing up their design plans for the 10 miles trails. Pringle Nature Center, last Saturday, Discover Wisconsin filmed a segment on winter recreation and specifically snowshoeing at the Pringle Nature Center. They also filmed at a few other places here in Kenosha County, up at Bong, at Wilmot Mountain, and over at UW Parkside, and that show will air on May 7th. Katy Park attached, I included the most current concept plan for the parking lot on KD. I want everybody to know that R.A. Smith volunteered their time and efforts to do all the concepts and do the grading site plans for this parking lot, which is, I think, pretty nice of them. They understand that this is you know, kind of a critical issue here, and they want to help move that along as fast as they can. The other thing, I've got them working on the grading plans for the road and parking lots, and both launch into Katy Park as well. And again, I need that, along with the estimates, to be able to meet a grant deadline by May 31st to ask for stewardship funds for parkland development. And I figure I'll have that, at least have the estimates here shortly. The IT division was out last week and worked on the antenna and equipment inside the KD shop, so we'll have internet access and phone lines out there. And once that's done, we can move that operation out of Fox River and out there and abandon that house office at Fox River. And that's all I have.
Thank you, John. Fat bike races. I saw a story in the Journal and in the Kenosha News that the state was thinking about not allowing fat bike tires on state-operated snowmobile trails. I don't know why, but because I saw those when they were out at our park. I don't know what they could tear up out there, but apparently somebody's got some type of problem with it.
Well, we are letting them. We're going to pack a trail for them specifically at Silver Lake Park. We're letting them use our machine to pack it. We're not doing it for them. to give it a try out there. But I mean, they said they race on the snow.
Oh, yeah.
That's interesting.
And they're easy to ride because I saw a real big boy going around Katy Park. He made it around there really fast. He needed a big deer, this guy.
You know, there's beer at the end of those rides.
They have beer.
Yeah.
I know. And they had bagels, I saw, too.
Beer and bagels.
Yeah. Any questions for John? If not, we'll move on to golf. We're ready, Dan. First thing we're going to do is the golf race, and I do want to, before you start on that, say that we don't have to go through this line by line. But I think everyone is aware that we're not changing anything. So
correct.
Yeah. So go ahead.
Just
don't go line by line.
The first page that I sent out in your package was the proposed golf pass rates. Again, there was a one word added, non-refundable. And other than that, everything else is the same on there. So all the rates are the same. They've been doing good. When I arrived here, we've lowered the gold pass $100. We lowered the silver pass $100. We did increase the adult pass slightly, I think $20 since I've been here. The senior pass has stayed the same. The college pass, when I first introduced it, was I think $4.95, and now it's down to $1.95. The junior pass was $125, now it's down to $95. So, I mean, we are trying to get back to our pass holders. We're trying to make them feel welcome at our facilities and know that they're the backbone of, you know, what we do out there. They're the ones that come out all the time. So, you know, a lot of good discounts and promotions for them. We've been selling about 350 passes every year, so I think it's very good value for them. So if we would approve, we would like to keep the pass rates the same for 2014.
Any questions from the committee? Supervisor Noodle.
The $5 fee, is that for 9 holes or 18? Or
as many as you want to play that day.
Oh, so you just pay?
One time. $5, play as what you want.
The prices here, is there any difference between the resident and non-resident?
No, sir. There has not been since, I think, 08 or 07, maybe even. It's always been one rate.
Supervisor Sklisky.
Go ahead. Anyways, Dan, I just see on club rentals, it went from 30 to 25. Which one is correct?
It is. Oh, I'm sorry. It is $30. We did have a misprint on the golf rates, and I'll get into that next. We were, okay. Bob and I were throwing some ideas around, you know, it is $30.
And then if I look at these, I may be off, but I think in the sheet you just gave me, we removed the super twilight after 4, because of course there was a super twilight after 5:30. Did we just go with the 5:30 or?
That we're voting right now on just on the membership rates, and I'll go over this in the next set. Okay,
so getting ahead of myself there.
Right. Yeah. So this is for the pass holders, for the season passes, if that's okay with everybody, and then we'll go into the rates. And one thing that Bob and I were throwing around, having Super Twilight start at 4 o'clock at Petrifying Springs, at Wrightdale, I'm sorry, and we were trying to figure out a way to, you know, because Petrifying Springs is so full of leagues, we're trying to get more people out there, you know, but then we realized that, you know, that's cutting our throats, you know, too much of a price cut, you know, and that was something that we did internally. We decided to go just the same thing as with these rates as we were last year, and I just attached the wrong file. So it was and this is the corrected that I handed out tonight, is the corrected file, and everything is exactly the same as it was in 2013. For the club rental, we do have full sets of Nikes, which are about $2,000 or $2,500 sets of golf clubs, and we rent them all for several seasons at $30 for 18 holes, $15 for 9 holes. It's and people can play with and see what technology can do for them. We only have a few sets at Brightonvale and one set at Petrifying Springs, so it's not a big part of our operations, but it's we think it's a great value for $30 to rent out that full set. So everything else on this sheet is exactly the same as it was in 2013.
Any other questions?
Mistake. What happens if they break a sud?
Then they have to buy it.
Okay. Break and buy it. Easy enough. Okay. Yeah.
Mike?
Right.
You got nothing? Okay. Doug?
Now, are we talking about this sheet yet?
Yeah.
Now, the one you handed out is the one with $25, but you said it's 30.
It is 30, and I will make that correction. I'm sorry.
It was 30 last year?
Mm-hmm.
And can I get a copy of what
you came about? I'm going to pass that down, Gary.
Other than that, what was different on the one that you had handed out?
We thought about offering Super Twilight at 4 p.m. at Brightondale every day, but that won't work for us. We have to do it after 5:30, so that was what my mistake was. Just attaching the wrong file. It was just something that we were doing internally, throwing ideas back and forth between Bob and I.
Anything else, Doug?
I think the only other thing is you put on here all players must be 7 years old. I think we discussed that, and you did add that then.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the past, I had somebody complain to me that it wasn't written anywhere, but you were throwing out 7 years old, but it wasn't written anywhere.
We were actually at 8, and we decided to lower it to 7 for your discussion, and we just want people to be safe out there. That's the number one thing for us. We don't want any children getting hurt on the golf course, and you know, whatever can happen to happen.
Okay. Any other questions on the golf rates?
Just
Mr. Resnick.
Have we always been at 55 for seniors?
Well, since I've been here, yes.
So you're kind of young.
Yeah.
Don't you be changing that now.
Just saying, I mean, you're not a senior, 55.
Personally, we can't change it.
Yep. It would be great. Well, you know.
Next year. Wait, that's all. Yeah. All right.
I didn't know that.
I think it's very young for 55. I think you're hitting people in their prime earning years. You know, it should be higher than that. The only thing that saves us really is, you know, it's weekdays before 3:30, so it doesn't affect our leagues, and weekends after 1. So it's really, you know, it's not, you know, they can play, you know, they can get a coupon or something and play for those kind of rates too, you know. So it's when we need players, you know, is weekdays before 3:30, and so it doesn't kill us, but I think it's awful.
So because we rely on a lot of your expertise on this stuff, is it the scenario here, because I'm just thinking, that's at 60, I probably wouldn't have asked you. 55, I concur with where you're coming from. I don't think anybody's a senior at 55, not these days anymore. Do you think we're losing a little revenue because of that lower 55 age?
I think that we are losing some, but again, you know, it's at a period when we need players. So, I mean, the only way that I could possibly fathom of changing this is using a year, saying, okay, if you were 55 within this year frame, it'll stay until, you know, every year, keep advancing. Let's just say it was 1957 that you turn, you know, and it goes back to 55, and then you would keep advancing that. If you're a senior, if you were born in 57 or earlier, you know, and you would just keep that for 5 years. So, I mean,
kind of a grandfather clause,
right? I mean, you know, I can't see taking it away from anybody.
I think the vast majority of your players are still working at 55, not necessarily retired at 55.
Right. I believe that they did that in the past to try and generate more business in those need times.
And I'm just trying to get a sense if you think that that's something, that that's a policy that should be extended, or is that something that we could, perhaps we should be reconsidering? What I mean is by moving that age perhaps to 60, and I'm just throwing that number out and not saying that's the age.
I think it would be a good idea to consider something like that. But I think the only way that you could do something like that would be to grandfather that year of whoever, you know, if it's 14, would be
59, you know, it'd be 1950, if you're born 59 or later, you know, or earlier, you're a senior, you know, and keep that until it's, and then in 5 years you change it to 60 years old or something like that. I think we'd have a upheaval if
it'd be very difficult on our end.
Ah, that's different. Yeah.
Now, and we have Dan and I have discussed it quite a bit. The idea of bumping it, but the, you know, that bulk of player that does, we're not losing that much, like you said. You know, you're talking 55 and older Monday through Friday in the mornings. You're not really losing a whole lot. And at that point, a lot of people are coming in with promotional rates and things of that nature. So you're really not losing that much. And where it would hurt would be especially for things like the senior pass and trying to implement it. And I'll say, you know, if like Dan said, if we were to go to 60 as opposed to 55, that would be a very difficult in terms of customer relations.
Thanks, sir. Supervisor Noble, you've been around here a little bit, certainly golf operations. Do you have any historical background on 55 and where that came from? Or?
I do remember it was 60 and it got lowered to 55, and I don't know.
I think it was your emotion.
I probably was. I've never taken advantage of it. Okay. I really don't remember. I do remember it being 60, though, right?
It was.
Okay.
I remember being 60 and it was his motion. He thought he was at IHOP.
Got a good memory.
Yeah. But we did, it was changed under quite a bit of pressure from the pass holders and a pretty strong contingent of people that were utilizing the golf course at a time that we were underutilized. So, you know, there was some stats, and there was showing that it wasn't costing us a whole lot of money at the time.
Okay.
Anything else for Dan on the rates? In fact, can we have a... Now, this doesn't go to the county board, but we still would like a motion to... so Dan can officially, we approve these rates. So.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Moved by Supervisor Noodle, seconded by Supervisor Skolitsky to approve the rates as presented. Youth and Governance?
Aye.
Committee?
Aye.
Aye. So they're carried. So.
It must have been you. You said aye and you said Youth and Governance.
Next on our agenda, we would like to introduce our staff. We did a little reorganization over the winter, and I brought in our staff, and I want to thank them for showing up this evening. Several are not even working at this time, but you know, I just thought it would be nice for you guys to put a face with a name and know who is driving the success of our operations. I mean, these are the people that are on the property every single day and doing a tremendous job. Erin McGrath is our food and beverage manager at Petrifying Springs. She's responsible for all the wonderful fish fries and keeping all of our golfers happy there. She's been with our county since for 9 years. This will be your ninth season, I believe. So she's been a long-term employee for us. Scott Driscoll, he runs the food and beverage operations at Brightondale. This is Scott's fifth year with us, fourth year as the food and beverage manager, so he does a tremendous job. I mean, it's kudos to those guys that, you know, last year in 2012, I should say, we took a $125,000 jump in our revenue, you know, and it's because of their hard work and effort and directing the staff and really putting together that great product for us. So that's Erin and Scott. In our golf maintenance department, we have Lori Stanek. She has been with the county more years than I will say. She does a great job for us. Her golf course was ranked number one by the Kenosha News in our area for our golf courses. So, you know, she's got a huge part in that, making sure that on a daily basis, you know, she pays attention to details. She basically has all the plans for keeping the golf course maintained, and she does a tremendous job for us. So this is her going into our fourth year at Petrifying Springs as the head of maintenance. So, and then Rich Heinisch, he's our head of grounds maintenance at Brightondale Links. Rich has been with the county over 30 years and 23 with the golf course. He's going to be heading up our golf maintenance, and he knows all the situations and everything better at Brightondale on the golf courses than anyone. And so, you know, his qualifications really speak for themselves, and we're definitely looking for our golf courses to improve, actually, in quality under Rich's guidance. So I'm really excited to work with Rich. And then our golf operations guys, Andy Otis is our head of golf operations at Petrifying Springs. He did step into a position in the middle of the year last year. We had a change in management, and Andy took over. He did a great job with Petrifying Springs in a kind of a different situation, and we're really looking forward to Andy elevating our customer service even more than what we have in the past. I think with the proper staff, Andy will be doing great things at Petrifying Springs. And then Bob Tierney, he's our head golf professional. This is his second year as our head golf professional and group golf coordinator. Bob's been playing these golf courses since he's been 10, and he went to UW Parkside, was on the golf team there, went to Westosha Central, was on the golf team there. You know, he does a great job with all of our outings and all of the staff on a daily basis, and making sure that Brightondale runs, you know, seamlessly, and he does a great job with all of our groups. He's very detail oriented. Make sure that you know, he knows the importance of our group operations, and you know, it's just great to know that we have such a quality staff, you know, taking care of our guests. So I thought that you guys would like to know, you know, who the guys with are on a daily basis that are running our golf courses. So. I handed out in your packet our organizational chart. We feel that it's you know, going to promote great communications between everybody that runs the daily operations and myself, and we look for nothing but another successful run and better conditions and better customer service going forward with everybody's length of service.
Thank you, Dan. Mm-hmm. So now we will move on to your report.
Okay. We're finalizing the 2014 business plan. It's pretty much in the books. We're ready to go. It's a roadmap that we use to continue our successful path. We're working on the golf shows coming up. Chicago Golf Show is February 21st through the 23rd, and Milwaukee Golf Show is March 14th through the 16th. And we really feel that the golf shows bring a lot of positive recognition to our facilities. We do hand out coupons, and we hand out the rates and all the events that are coming up. But, you know, basically, it's the biggest thing about the golf show is getting that name recognition out there. We're also planning on opening the golf course March 21st, depending on Mother Nature and how things go. We're working with a Golf Channel solution. It's a golf-specific advertising company that worked really well for us last year. The website's produced a lot. Our database is now over 12,000 people, so every time we send out one of those email blasts that I try and copy you guys on, there's 12,000 other people that are receiving that email. So I really feel it's a big part of our success. And we're really working on rebooking all of our past outings and leagues. And Petrifying Springs, again, should have about 400, maybe 420 league members, the most we've been able to accommodate. And we're looking to fill a little bit more in at Brightondale. Projects we're working on is completions of the last two holes of the fairway irrigation on the White Birch. Tom Emmerich is getting together our bid specs for that to go out to bid. And then the paving that we're going to be working on with Gary and the highway department. Looking forward to that. And then the most recent one we're working on is we're removing all the flooring in the kitchen and doing some painting in the clubhouses. Carpets Plus will be putting in the new flooring. And we're really looking forward to that at Brightondale. It'll be all the kitchen and the locker rooms and the dining area. And then we're working on purchasing some new golf cars and beverage carts and utility vehicles and mowing equipment. So got that pretty much all handled. So things are going well.
So if we get a big thaw,
we'll be ready.
We'll be ready.
Yes, sir.
Good deal. Any questions for Dan on anything? But I really want to thank the staff members for coming in tonight. It was very nice of you to be here. I guess there is a couple of questions. Who had them?
Well, and then after you. I see in a few spots here, Dan, we got names and then others are just kind of popping up personnel. Are those slots to fill or we just kind of leave it?
Yeah, those are, there's too many to name in some of them, like the long-term seasonals. You know, we have the equipment technician, Tom O'Dell, who is a long-term employee for us. He's got 25 years of experience. Andrew Troyonic and Sam Hawkins are second assistants that we have that we know that are coming back. Other than that, yeah, like the food and beverage and golf shop staff, and there's just, you know, too many people to name.
Right. Thank you.
Yeah.
You had something? Yeah. No. Doug.
Well, I'd be remiss if I didn't say something because I've been got blitzed with emails. But when it comes to the golf course maintenance this particular year, I think it's going to be under a microscope and by certain people in the golf community. So I just want to be on the record that you know that, your employees know that.
We look for nothing but improvements.
All right. I think we've got it. Thank you very much, Dan. And again, thank you all for being here. We're going to move to facilities.
I'll take it, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah. Are you going to take it?
Yes, sir.
Since there's nobody else here.
I am the only guy in facilities, so there is nobody else.
I saw
you. I love your lean transformation.
Frank, did you bring your chart? Your chart that just says Frank?
Yeah, I'll just have an arrow that points to me.
Yeah.
That's a pretty, we simplified. So. But yeah, 60th Street Tower, one critical path item, the fiber optic line, we got that installed. IT, working with IT. Got that installed on the 20th of January. Installation of the racks, that holds all the radio equipment and all the some really complicated technology. So that's going in, equipment's moving in. February 11th, we have a meeting of the Joint Communications Committee solely devoted to the final coordination of the move from the old tower to the new tower. There's a lot of entities, a lot of people, sheriff, city fire, county fire, police department wants to switch over to that tower too after our startup. So it's quite a bit of coordination making sure everything gets in and that there's a lot of frequencies that utilize. One antenna can broadcast and receive more than one frequency, and all that needs to be balanced out. It's like tuning a piano using these multiplexers. It's a very, very involved, and some of it is it's a lot of science and a little bit of art to make it all talk and walk together. So, but we've got the right people. Again, we're shooting for mid-March, so it's coming together. Any questions?
Will the old tower be torn down, or is that going to serve as a backup?
No, the old tower will be torn down.
All right.
It is coming down. Any other questions? Okay. HVAC, again, it's just something we've had on the agenda, and we're changing over the units to digital, and really because the time between the two meetings and our maintenance staff's been tied up with other things there with the cold snap. We haven't been able to move forward on that. Any other questions?
No, that's good.
Yule House.
Yule House up until today was the same as last month. And then today I received an email from the realtor He says, we have a potential client that is interested in the property and has been in contact with CAVA for moving his admin and tech operations to Kenosha. He is wondering if the county would consider a contract sale, moving into the property and then getting a traditional bank mortgage within 180 days of moving in. We would need to figure out the lease terms while occupying the property until a final sale. I don't know who the company is. I don't know anything about them. I don't know anything about their financial stability. But he said they are very interested, that they've looked at the place several times. They know what it is. And
what kind of business?
I don't. It's a tech business, but I don't know.
So they might need that addition.
Right. They like the fact that that addition was there.
Yeah, because they probably have some little bit of other type of motion they do.
I got the impression they did some sort of training of, yeah, of people. So what I'm presenting to you then is asking if you feel that this would be something that you would consider. They don't want to move forward with putting together a whole proposal if you're not even interested in considering this. They would move in. We would have some sort of a lease arrangement with them until such time that they would be able to get their bank. From what I understand, they have property that they're trying to sell right now, and that once they have that sold, they would then be in a position where they would get a loan. But until that happens, they can't get a loan.
Well, we'd have to have the county's attorneys look at one thing, so we didn't get somebody in there that we couldn't get rid of.
Right.
And so Bernie would have to approve it. And if Bernie could approve something, they just want to know if we would consider it.
Right. And I did speak to Bernie today.
And we could say we would consider it once we saw the offer. Mm-hmm. That's all they need to, that's all they want to know, right?
Right.
Yeah.
But they don't want to bother putting together something if it's definitely that you don't want to have somebody in there that is renting it. You know, the cons of this would be we would, if we do this, we would lose our prime selling season for the upcoming year if
right.
they moved in and then decided they couldn't get a loan.
Any discussion from the committee? Okay.
I'm just going to make a comment again because I'm going to abstain from any comments and any votes in any attempts to do that.
Okay. Any?
Yeah. So 6 months, leased own, that's kind of what they're saying.
Lease to own, right? Not lease with option, because we don't want to just give have it be an option. We would have to have something more definite,
it's concrete.
And we would want them paying the utilities and the upkeep and insurance and such, so that we would get that burden off of our back.
So their offer would have to be an offer to buy.
Correct.
Yeah. What did Bernie say?
He said there isn't anything unlawful about it. I gave him 37 seconds to think of it, because I just got this. But he couldn't see anything wrong with it. He said it's not prohibited in any way. We would really have to vet them very hard to make sure that right. they would be a good tenant for us and would have the ability eventually to get that mortgage.
So let me just poll the committee then. If Bernie would approve their offer and the county was safe, let's put it that way, would the committee be able to tell Carol this evening to tell them that they could make an offer? Doug, I would say yes.
If the administration recommended it. And,
right.
Yeah.
So I think we would say yes.
Okay.
So Carol Goodman, they've been through it a number of times. They realize there's probably some maintenance.
Some maintenance, yes.
As far as you know, they're aware of that, right?
Yes.
Everything's frozen right now.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Okay.
He said they saw it with all of its
warts.
Glories.
Yeah, glories. Yeah, there you go.
Well, if you had the right business, it would be a good business.
Yes.
Yep.
I'd rather have a tenant in there, option of buying it, than it just sits vacant.
Right. They would pay us rent, and we wouldn't have to worry about it sitting there empty.
Perhaps we could, because you made the comment, and you're absolutely right, and that is going to leave that prime window, until August.
Right.
Maybe we entertain 4 months till they, and it's probably contingent upon them selling their property. So the sooner they sell theirs, right? You have a sense of what at 6 months what they're. Let's say they haven't sold theirs.
Well, I got the impression that they were in negotiations with somebody already.
so it may not even be
right.
6 months. Okay.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I think the committee has said tonight we would entertain it. So, okay. Yeah. Thanks for sitting here.
Thanks for bringing us some good news.
Yeah.
Well, this morning I thought, oh, geez, I don't want to go and tell them the same thing again.
You don't have to. It's okay.
And you don't really have to come yeah, out just no. to tell us that.
Okay.
He just tells when it's sold.
Frank can tell us that.
Yeah.
One man.
It's the only name on here, so technically.
And yeah. just for the record, I have offered Carol to... Just give it to me and I'll bring it out. But since she had the good news, she was so excited to come out this time and finally give you a positive report. So,
thanks, Carol.
Well, thank you.
So, Frank, we'll move on.
The KCAP, critical facade roof, the whole restoration project. The bids are due February 5th. We've actually gave an extension to the contractors. We've pressed upon them that we need to get everything out on the table, any questions, any concerns up front, because we're going to be extraordinarily hard on change orders as we were with the courthouse. So they have really come to the table with many, many very good questions about this project. And one of them was because we have to excavate around the KCAP to go down and do all the waterproofing was soil. So we did soil boring. We got that out, and the contractor asked for just a little more time so they could get his excavators to get solid numbers. So we, talking with Carol and our architect, we allowed that, and we set the new bid at February 5th. So we anticipate to have all four contractors that qualify to submit bids. So we're still hoping for a mid-March start date, depending on weather. So that's where it sits right now, February 5th.
Thank you, Frank. Yes?
Is boring for soil quality, remediation?
Yes.
All of the above?
No, not for remediation, actually. Thankfully, we didn't hit anything like that, actually. Yeah. That's a good point. The thing is, we're kind of working. We have a 10th Avenue and 56th Street, so they have to do some shoring so we don't go out in the street. And depending on what grade of soil it is, if it's very solid, if it's sandy, things like that, that changes how much shoring they have to do, and it's more involved, more work. So by doing the soil boring, there was less guesswork for them, and they could get a harder number together for us. And so they shouldn't put as much of a... unknown factor on the number, so it was in our best interest.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Fred. So I guess Jim, are you handling this grant?
Yeah. About a month or two ago, we're asking for approval to accept a $6,500 grant from the Wisconsin Division of Energy Services to research potential cost savings and improve efficiency relative to the utility spending. The county spends $2.5 million on utilities every year. And the Wisconsin Division of Energy Services has a program where they will give money to municipalities to do work with Wisconsin Energies, use their system, go back, study the history of your buildings, look at your metering, compare that to other facilities in the state of similar types of buildings and make some recommendations on how we could become more efficient. So working with UW Extension, who brought this up, we applied for this grant, and we can't accept it until we have your approval. And we'll use the $6,500 to hire either probably an intern or else somebody, consulting firm like maybe even Carthage again. We have some feelers out, and we have to spend all this money by the end of June. So as soon as this thing is approved, we'll get somebody in here and start doing some research. And fortunately, we've done some of this in the past. There is some existing history on our buildings, but we're going to try to reduce that number down to whatever we can save.
And this grant is to help us put together a plan for saving.
Yeah.
Way I read it. Yes, it was.
Any matching funds required?
We're going to put in I think it's around $300 of in-kind services, like that includes my time and Frank's time, and maybe copies or something.
I mean, you don't get a lot for $6,500, no. So you're talking about an intern. Let's say it was an intern. Don't they need to have some level of experience or expertise in this to be able to collect the pertinent information that you're looking for, or what?
Well, Wisconsin Energy has a program that if we train somebody, they can go in and they can collect a lot of that data through the system. Okay. So you need somebody who understands how to work a computer and maybe accounting or engineering background to go in and collect that data. And then just look at our invoices that we have and build this history. So it's not, this part of it isn't really complicated.
Okay.
And you're right, you don't get a lot for $6,500, but we want to get a toehold somewhere, and the way to start is to at least collect the data and organize it so we can build on it. And Wisconsin Energies will help, and
it's not coming in saying that we'd recommend, or this individual would recommend this type of a thermostatic control for this building. It's just collecting what the numbers are.
Yeah.
And maybe generate a database out of that.
Yeah. Okay. We also want to be sure that our meters are correct, and that, and by organizing this, Wisconsin Energies will go in and they will build a structure of our various utility meters and make sure we're not paying for the electricity at Pozzles or something. So it can happen.
Rick?
I know we've had some committees finance approved. I don't know if the board has. Purchasing all new LEDs for Brookside, is that going to be part of the cost-saving figures, or is that going to be separate?
It's not for this. Well, you know, it would save. That kind of a program
significant savings
would end up saving some money at Brookside.
But it won't be in this study?
Probably not specifically, no.
Oh, okay.
Any other questions?
We got them. I make a motion to approve the resolution.
Second.
Move a second to give them the ability to accept this grant. Any other discussion? Youth and Governance?
Aye.
The committee?
Aye. Aye.
Motion carries, so we'll ask everybody to sign this. And does anybody have anything else? If not, we'll ask for a motion to adjourn.
Make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Move a second to adjourn. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
So if I say no to why to adjourn, does that not change anything?
You can stay.